Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. We're going to talk about your value tonight. And while you're turning there, you know, according to the CDC, nearly 21% of U.S. adults will develop what we call MDD. That is what we call major depression disorder. Don't worry, I'll get to some other things here too. We'll get out of this. Depression, did you know depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide as measured by years lived with disability? Almost 75% of people with mental disorders remain untreated in developing countries, with almost 1 million people taking their lives each year. In addition, the World Health Organization, I don't know how much I believe of them, but anyway, one in 13 globally suffers from anxiety. The WHO reports that anxiety disorders are the most common mental disorders worldwide, with specific phobias, major depressive disorders, and social phobia being the most common anxiety disorders. So the enemy's trying to bring people down, right? Turn this off here. It's blowing going on. 2 Corinthians. We want to look at some scripture tonight because there's definitely an attack going on in the world, and it's going to be your thinking. And too many people, the world system is trying to break you down all of the time. You're not good enough. You know, look at this person. Look how good they look. Look how you compare. And look how much money they have and how much you have. 2 Corinthians 10, 12 says, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or what compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves," which is what? Not wise. What is your measuring stick of who you are? Right? Is it the latest, reality TV show, that's a joke, isn't it? Right? Reality, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. Do you watch those shows? No, I'm kidding. No. A lot of things on TV, they're not reality, are they? Right? Okay, forgive me, all the ladies in here, the Hallmark Channel lovers, please forgive me, all right? I'm going to poke fun at you for a minute, okay? All right, you still love me? Guess what? You have to love me, all right? So we always laugh because it's just not reality, okay? you get the ladies that have, you know, a little cupcake shop, work two hours a week, they got an $800,000 house, right? And then, you know, they all have this disposable income, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm a finance guy, nothing lines up, right? Hello. Okay, there's something missing here. That's what we call not reality, you know? You've got very expensive clothes, very expensive house, and you're only working 2 hours a week in a cupcake shop. It just doesn't line up, okay? I'm just saying, all right? I'm not an accountant. We got accountant people in here. I do finance stuff, but I'm just saying, something's off, all right? So we're seeing all over, it's not reality, is it? No, it's not, you know? And I laugh at all the time. I'm like, those are not real men in those shows. Those are women dressed up like men. I'm convinced of it. Guys, don't think and act like that. I'm telling you right now. Anyway, I'm kidding. They're, you know, a lot of them are good, wholesome shows. I'm not, but it just, some of them. But it's funny to watch because you're thinking, that ain't real life, okay? That just ain't happening. But anyway, so we're seeing that there's often all of these things, whether it's where, marketing or what have you, everything in our life is marketed that, you know what, you're just not quite good enough. That's not quite good enough. You know, your clothes aren't quite good enough. You know, how come you're not taking this lavish vacation? And Everything in marketing is geared to make you dissatisfied, right? Because if you weren't dissatisfied, you wouldn't need it. And guess what? I'm usually not dissatisfied with anything because I don't like buying anything anymore, right? I'm getting to the age where it's like, I got everything I want, and I don't really care anymore to an extent. Now, some of the younger folks, it's a little different story, right? I mean, you got to have the Air Jordans. You got to have the shoes. You got to have this stuff, right? Or is it just me? I remember I was at that age one time, but back then it was, you know, it was the Jordans, but it was Levi's jeans. So, you know, that was cool, man. It was like, what, the 501s and the 505s, and they had like the zippers, but then they had the button-up flies, and I mean, it was like, yeah. Everyone's like, what planet did he come from? That was back in 1932. So again, we want to make sure, don't compare yourselves with others, right? We just read here, it's not wise. I love this, this is King James, believe it or not, but it says, they measure themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So who are we gauging our value off of? Right? How many people do we know that are drowning in comparison? Right? You don't look that, you don't look like they do. You don't have their finances, right? I mean, let's just face it. YouTube and Facebook are a complete joke. Come on now. Right? I mean, all you're seeing are people's highlights. They're not telling you, oh, you know, my spouse left me today, or I just filed bankruptcy today, or I lost my job today, or anything else. They're showing you the awesome vacation, right? Everything's going great. Everything's wonderful. So you're always seeing the highlight clips. You're never seeing the reality of things. Isaiah 26:3, let's turn there. So you're seeing the one good thing, but you're not seeing the 99 bad things in people's lives, right? You know, they always look like they got it together, but they're not talking about their depression or their anxiety or, you know, they can't pay their bills. None of those things come to light. And then you think, oh, my life must be awful terrible. Again, go back to the scripture we just read there, 2 Corinthians 10:12. You can't compare yourself. You can't compare yourself, right? Isaiah 26:3 says, New Living Translation, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Who are you they're talking about? The Lord, right? Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. Verse 5, he humbles the proud and brings down the arrogant city. He brings it down to the dust. That's why I always think too, you know, we see these things going on, these people, that whether they're in government or whoever corruption is, you know, their day's coming. People don't get away with things like you think. Because when you read the scriptures, people who do evil things, they're going to reap what they sow. If you think that people are getting away with their lifestyle, their sin, everything else that they're involved with, guess what? Payday's coming, baby. You're going to have to deal with it. And we don't want to deal with that, do we? We don't want to deal with, you know, whether it's arrogance or pride or sin. So first thing is, number one, we don't want to compare ourselves with others. Number two, we need to focus on the Lord. He should be our goal or our rock, the one, the cornerstone that we build all of our life after, right? The Kardashians are not in that mix for me, okay? I don't know if they are for you, but, you know, the Kardashians just don't rank up there with me. I've never watched one show, okay, and I'm not going to, but, right? So all the people that think so. Can I just say this? When we step on the other side with Jesus, there's going to be a lot of shocked people. And there's a lot of people with zero depth. And spiritual, I'm not making fun of them or anything. I'm just saying people on TV, it looks great and wonderful and awesome, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So when you focus on the Lord, he will give you an accurate self-assessment of yourself. We're going to look at the word tonight, and see what is the accurate self-assessment. I remember, now it's been a little longer for me than some of the other people in this room, but I remember high school, right? I remember there's arrogant people that I went to school with. And especially when you get into sports, you either have the people that are going to build everybody up or the people that are going to cut everybody down to try to make themselves look good, right? And had kind of this, you know, it's kind of like tyrants. My knees lock up and I can't bend over when I'm around tyrants. And that's where a lot of arrogant people that are, even when I was younger and played sports, we didn't get along very well, right? Because I always thought we're a team. If I can help you get better, we win, right? And if I'm going to get better, that's something I need to work on myself, and you have no control over that. So again, arrogance is going to pull people down. You're going to belittle people. But those people who are confident, there's a difference between confidence and arrogance. Arrogance is going to put you down to build myself up. Confidence builds everybody else up in the process, right? We need confident people. What was Jesus? Jesus was very confident. He was not shy about things. But guess what? He built people up around him as he went. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. I'm going to kind of read through these. You can write them down. You can. It says, now as touching things offered unto idols. Here we go. We know that we all have knowledge. Here we go. Knowledge puffs up, but charity, or what we call love, edifies or it builds up, doesn't it? Knowledge puffs up, but charity or love builds up, it edifies. Do you know how many people I've... Let's stop right there for a minute. You know... Can I just say something to you? Sometimes people who have education, now I've got education, so I'm gonna throw myself under the bus too here. Sometimes people who have education, that gives them an opportunity for pride, doesn't it? Because we just said here that knowledge puffs up. Now there's a difference between knowledge and wisdom. There's a lot of knowledge out there with the internet, right? But you see on the internet, there's a lot of people don't have any wisdom. What is wisdom? It's what to do with knowledge. Psalm 62, verse 10 says, trust not in oppression and become not vain in robbery. Here we go. If riches, set not your heart upon them. Proverbs 11:28. Again, write these down. I'm going to kind of go fast tonight. Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteousness shall flourish as a branch. So sometimes when people have education or knowledge, and then if they have money with it, sometimes that can kind of puff things up, right? Because, you know, some people, if they can't earn it, they'll buy it. There was a college that I went to that somebody came down, or there was a rich person that was going to make a big donation, and they ended up getting a bachelor's degree, right? So sometimes we can just buy what we want, and we don't care what the ethics are, right? Or knowledge, we think that we have all of the answers. Let me just tell you something right now. Without God, we can't breathe. And if we think that we are anything without him, we are in big trouble. Big, big trouble. I just say this, I've had people, and again, I'm for education. Don't get me wrong, I'm for education. I love education. I'm doing more education now. I believe in education. I think it's great. I remember my undergraduate in business courses, I would have PhDs. People had, like Brother Hagin calls them, post-hole diggers. I'm kidding. But PhDs, which, you know, there's very smart people out there. I'm not downing them. But I had two professors that had the PhD in business in economics that had never worked outside in the private sector, ever. They couldn't start a business. They had no idea. Though they could tell you about micro and macroeconomics and marketing and everything else too. You ask them to do it and they couldn't do anything. Right? So let's say they just went bachelor's, master, graduate school, and then they got their PhD and they just blah, 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 all through. And then now they're just, all they're doing is just tossing out information, but we don't know how to do anything. Well, they got a lot of knowledge, but they have no wisdom. And if you're going to compare yourself with people like that, you're going to make a big mistake. I'm just telling you right now, right? Again, I believe in education. I'm not downing education, but the Bible talks about knowledge puffs up, right? It's going to get you in trouble. So number one, if you compare yourself with other people, you're going to get in trouble. Because number one, you're going to look, oh, I'm so much better than them. Boy, look at those people. Or on the other side, it's like, I might as well just throw myself off a cliff. I mean, my goodness, look what they've accomplished. And look at my age, and I'm still doing this, and blah, 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 blah. No, the devil's going to get you down a rat hole. Why? Because your gifts, we'll talk about here in a minute, your gifts and callings are different than this other person. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you can't take money with you. You can't take your education with you. I mean, you can't take these things with you, but what you can take is people and spiritual things. That's what we see there. The word talks about where it's going to go through fire, all this junk left behind. I mean, we're just temporarily holding money, right? You build a house, someday somebody else is going to live in it. I don't want to be all down and depressive or anything, but guess what? We're just here. Like the Apostle Paul says, it's just basically a flash in the pan and we're gone. But we have some things to do and we don't need to get depressed while we're here because guess what? There is joy in the journey, right? And we walk with God, there's always joy in the journey. Molly and Kate went to camp this week down there in Texas and got roasted on the how hot it is. But you know how many times they said things like, you know, the kids that were there, they were adopted. They said, I didn't feel wanted. My parents are abusing me. They're addicted to drugs, everything else too. Why? Because their parents are out of control. They're not living for God. You know, and then we're around, you know, people that we knew, and it's like they're absolutely, everything is complete dysfunction. Why is it dysfunction? Because what are we doing? We're comparing ourselves with people and the worldly things, and you know what? We don't have those problems in our household. It doesn't mean we don't have problems, but what does it mean? We want to put God first, period. Everything we do. We want to walk in love. Now, we're not perfect, you know? I mean, Adrian gets mad. Thanks. I'm kidding. Just kidding. I have overcome a lot of anger issues over my past. Okay. So we're not perfect. But what the point is this, God is the one that makes things happen in our lives, right? He's the one that empowers us and helps us to do things. I cannot parent myself. I can't be a good spouse by myself, but God helps me. Do I miss the mark? Absolutely. I miss the mark sometimes. You can ask my kids. You can ask Adrian. All right. I'm not perfect, but I'm striving to be more like Jesus. Does that make sense? Anybody that says I'm just perfect, everything together, it's like, okay, the only way that's going to happen is if you take a dirt nap and you step on another side with Jesus, then it's going to be wonderful and you're going to be perfect, right? But while we're having breath in our lungs, we're going to make mistakes. But what the point is that God can help us moving forward. We don't have to compare ourselves with people, but we can live the most productive, godly, empowered life and then impress godly attributes onto our children so they don't have to suffer. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Am I just boring you tonight or what? You know, when we talked about, I'm going to pause here really quick too. You know, people talk about generational curses. I believe in generational curses. I believe there's learned behavior that you can pick up from your parents or from your family, whatever. And there may have been things they've done in the past that could impact you. But can I tell you something? The blessings of God are more powerful than any curse that's on you. Why are we? I mean, let's just get that junk off of us and let's run with God, right? The reason I run with God is because I love all the people in my house. It's not just for me. but it's that I am running with God so that my seed can have a can have advantage over the rest of the world. Because that's really what it is, right? I mean, we are instilling in our, I don't compare myself with other people. Because I tell you what, we're around people, and especially here, let's just be honest now, we're in this suburb, and what? We see people with money, we see people with education, and guess what? It seems like they've got it all. There's all these choices, right? You don't have to come to this church, you can go to another church. You can go here, you can go there, you can go there. And so, you know, often our motivation is going to be, hey, what's going to make me look good? What's going to make me feel good? Rather than, how am I going to impact my life and my kids moving forward? Because, you know, and sometimes it's not always bad, but sometimes you hear people like, well, I'm just going to this church because somebody else is going. I have friends that go here, I'm friends that go there. Okay, great. That's how I pick a restaurant, right? Did you go there? Did you go there? Was it good? Okay, great. They must have good food. And I've been in big churches. When Adrian moved back here, okay, and I'm not bashing other churches. Please don't say this. Don't take this the wrong way. But I when we moved back here to Iowa, went and visited some of the bigger churches and everything, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, where's the truth? Where's the truth at? You know? I felt pet and stroked by the end of it. And so I don't want to compare myself with other people. Do you? I want to compare myself to this. Yeah. Right? Because, I mean, let's just face it now. So many churches are now steering away from this and going with the world system, right? We're seeing denominations that are ripped apart by deception because of, you know, alternative lifestyles, right? We're seeing people being ripped away from this because of this. They're comparing themselves. Well, the world thinks this. I don't care what the world thinks. I really don't care what the world thinks. Because you know what the interesting thing was? When Jesus said, he's sitting there with his disciples, and he said, okay, who do men say that I am? Well, they think that you're John the Baptist, which is ridiculous, because they're like, okay, you're alive the same time. Why would you? I mean, that's just to me, it's like, okay, if you believe in reincarnation, but usually what happens is you die, and then somebody's born later after they die, raised. I mean, that's kind of how it works in my mind, you know, all the study and religion and stuff. But how does John the Baptist get killed? While you're born almost the exact what within just a year of each other? How does that happen? Anyway, that's another logistic thing. It's like I read the Bible sometimes and I'm thinking, really? Some people in there, and today I go, really? And others say you're Elijah. And then what's he say after that? He goes, Yeah, I don't care what that is, but I want to know what you think of me. See, Jesus didn't care about what the world thought, because guess what? They weren't interested in me anyway. Right? John chapter 3, it says that, well, other scriptures too, but John chapter 3, it says basically the world didn't like Jesus. He died for the world. Somebody didn't love him. But was he? He's interested in, you know what? He's interested in what we think. Why? Because he wants to have a relationship with us. So, don't compare yourselves. Again, what we see around us is not reality. And I guarantee you, when I watch the news, it is not reality. And you've got, I mean, I was over at somebody's house, and I don't know, I was helping them with something about a week or so ago, and they had the TV on the nightly news, and I busted out laughing out loud. I am just like, I mean, you got to be an ostrich to believe this stuff. I was laughing so hard, I thought, this is the biggest propaganda garbage I've ever seen. Ever seen in my life. And so that's where it's really important to have some spiritual discernment. You're just like, you know what? You know what? Here's something. I don't maybe not know what's going on, but I can check on the inside and go, Psalms 139:14 says, here we go. I will praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. Can I tell you something tonight, everybody? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God did not make a mistake with you, right? He did not make you a woman in a man's body, or vice versa. The Bible says he fearfully and wonderfully made you. See, that in itself is a lie, because what happens is in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were there in the Garden of Eden, they came, what did the devil come along and say? You know what? It's not good enough. What you have is not good enough. Now, we would sit from the outside going, you are psychotic, you are nuts to think that it's not good enough. I mean, you got everything made, all you're doing is hanging out eating all day. I mean, come on, who doesn't like that, right? You're just eating all day, and all you're doing is just making sure everything's cool, you know? Everything's perfect in the Garden of Eden. All you're doing is eating all day, hanging out. God comes down to cool the day, and hey, guys, how's it going? Hey, how my kids doing? All right, great, great, great. I mean, fantastic. That's it. And the devil comes down and says, this isn't good enough. Like, you're missing out. Missing out on what? And he lied to him, and he said, oh, you know, you're going to have the knowledge of, it's going to open your eyes, you're going to have all this stuff. Oh, it opened their eyes all right to the bad stuff. And see, everything comes along. The devil always wants you to believe you're just not quite good enough. No, the problem is we are good enough in Christ. Right? When we have transferred 2 Corinthians 5:17, we become a new creature. He hates it. I love doing stuff that hates the devil. I love preaching. I love worshiping. I love doing things, right? I love Brother Hagin. He would just sit back. Kenneth Hagin would say things like the devil would, you know, talk to him, and he'd just laugh, and the devil would say, what are you laughing at? You! He's a joke. When we begin to call him out, that's what makes him mad. You ever notice the people that get the most flaming anger is when you say, I don't agree? And then they just blow their stack, right? No, wait, we're supposed to have an open dialogue here. We're supposed to have open thinking. If I say I don't disagree, but, you know, they can disagree with you all day long, right? You're just a racist. You're just a pig. You're just a misogynist. You're just a... Okay, well, I'm none of that. I love people, all right? I love everybody. Even heathens. We still love heathens, right? So it has nothing to do with anything. It's just that, you know what? I believe that you're wonderfully made, and I don't believe God messed up the first time around. You're just listening to a lie. I know what you're thinking. Well, he messed up on you, Pastor, but not on us, okay? You're a different story. I'm kidding. So again, your value is not on what you do, listen now, or who you are, or what you have. Let me tell you something really quick. When you're a born-again Christian, it's based on whose you are. Because my value doesn't come from any of those things. My value comes from him, right? It comes from him. We'll go over the scripture here. We'll close. I get like 5 or 6 closings, by the way. Is that okay? All right, cool. Matthew 25, 14. This is the parable Jesus talks about of the three people that are given talents. And before we get into this, you have a talent. There is something of tremendous value in you that the devil wants to lie to you all the time and say, you're not good enough, there's something wrong with you, you don't have this, don't have the education, you don't have the money, you don't have this, you don't have that, you don't have this. And that's an absolute lie. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them. While he was gone, he gave them 5 bags of silver, two bags of silver, and to another, a bag of silver that lasted, divided his portions to their abilities. Then he left for his trip. Verse 16, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant who had 2 bags of silver also went and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Interesting enough, they all had talents, didn't they? They all had gifts with them. They all, And today we can say they have gifts in them. Verse 26, the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant, you knew I harvested crops and I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate. Why didn't you deposit my money in the bank, or at least I could have gotten some interest on it?" Here we go. Then he ordered, "Take the money from the servant and give it to the one that had the 10 bags of silver." And he goes on there. And then he says he casts him out to the verse 30. "Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness where there will be gnashing and teeth." Now I want to stop there. I didn't have time to read this. But his response was, "Why are you doing?" He said, "I was afraid." Right? So the master said, "Here's some talents for you. I need you to go produce something with me, for me." And the guy said, "I'm afraid. That's why I didn't do anything," right? What's fear? Well, I'm not good enough, right? I don't know enough. I don't know what my purpose is, blah, blah. I mean, every excuse in the book. But the master gave them talents, and it was not, "Can you do this or would you do this?" But it's like, "I've entrusted something to you. Now you need to go do something with it." Romans 11, 29 says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Why? All throughout the Bible, there are things God has deposited into people, gifts, talents, values, that the devil is trying to abort in your life. Amen? The enemy is trying to abort things in your life. "Well, I'm just staying home with the kids." Are you kidding me? That's a ministry in itself. You are cultivating little people. You know, there's a movement going on. I saw it on it was really interesting. A lot of you, what is it, the Gen Z folks or anything coming up here, you know, people in their 20s right now, or millennials, Gen Z, whatever, I don't know. I'm the forgotten generation. I'm the Gen X. Yeah, so we've been X'd out. So it seems like the baby boomers and then the generation after us are getting all the attention, and then we're kind of, "Hey, look at us." Kind of this weird zone. But anyway, so there's folks in their 20s now that they're reverting. They want to revert back to, and ladies, they want to revert back to the 50s. So what they're doing is they're dressing up like women in the 50s. They're staying at home. They got the dresses, the high heels, and they're making meals for their family, and they're taking care of the kids and everything. And you can't believe the attack people are putting on these people. It's crazy. I'm thinking, people want to live wholesome again. There's a desire for people to live wholesome again and have a family structure like they did in the 50s. And it's really funny because, you see, the gals, they have their hair like in the 50s, and they got the dresses and the high heels. Can you do that? Would you mind doing that for whatever? So anyway, but but everybody's got a gifting and calling. And so Romans 11, 29 says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, right? The enemy's going to tell you, you have no life, you have no talent, you have no value. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." If he's given you abilities to do things, he gives, you can do it. And what's the biggest lie the enemy's going to tell you? "Yeah, you can't do it. Yeah, you can't do it." You know, I thought I knew myself at like 20, 22. I didn't know nothing, right? And now all of you 20-somes, you probably know a whole lot more than I did. So, because you're sitting here, and I wasn't sitting here like, you know, somewhere like this when I was your age. But did you know that I am now discovering things about myself I never knew? God is revealing things to me. And I don't care what age you are, if you're walking with God, He's gonna reveal things about yourself that you never knew about. I am now coming into things. We were just talking about shit, but I'm just saying this. God is revealing things to me about things that He is pulling out of me that I never knew possible. Right? It's because I'm going to the Lord and I'm saying, God, show me things where I can be more effective in this area and what I need to do in certain areas. And then it's just this revelation is coming. I believe, and I don't care what age you are, because guess what? When we take our last breath here, this is not the end game. Okay, do you realize the Bible stops the millennium? That's it. Other places in the Old Testament, places in the Old Testament skip over our dispensation and talk about the ages to come. See, it doesn't give us everything on the other side. What I'm saying is we're going to have assignments and callings and giftings that are going to go into eternity. That's why the enemy just wants to devalue you so much, because if you figure it out now, I mean, you're going to have to figure it out on the other side. I mean, Jesus was a carpenter. You think it stopped there? He's still building things. You know, the word says that his word will never return void. You know, when he says something, it continues. It never stops. Now, whether we obey it or not is one thing. I know I'm going a little deep here, and we'll stop. But your purpose in life is not just this span that we're in right now. The Bible, it ends at the millennium. And then it just says, hey, everybody, we're going to live forever at the other side. Yay! But it doesn't tell us what's going on after that. I mean, who knows what we're going to be doing 100 years from now, 200, 1,000, 10,000, 20,000 years from now. If I get to heaven and I'm just floating around with little chubby cherubs popping grapes in my mouth, it doesn't be like, okay, I need something to do, right? I got to have a job. God, you got to employ me here. I mean, I got to do something. And there's going to be a lot of stuff to do. Why? Because on the other side, all our existence is about serving. That's all it is. Hell is all about taking and violation. Heaven is all about service and love. That's all it is. Right? How can I serve you? What can I do for you? It's the love walk. And I'm weirding somebody out here. Last scripture, I promise, the 12th time. Proverbs 18:16 says this, and you take this home with you. A man's gift makes room for him, here we go, and brings him before great men. Do you realize just by me strumming my little silly guitar how many people I've met? I mean, see, I'm not saying don't work, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. But I'm saying this, there are giftings in people and talents, and there's value in everyone here that need to be awake. We need to wake people up. Adrian and I were just talking about this, you know. Okay, I got to admit, we live a secret little life through Rick Steves, like, you know, the guy on TV that goes and does all the tours of Europe and stuff. I'm like, oh, I want to go there. Oh, I want to go there. Oh, I don't like this guy at all. He's going there. You know, and they're in Greece and everything. I was like, oh, yeah, it's just so terrible. You know, so anyway, he's having this great time and everything. But it tells you where we're at now, because when we look at the churches of the 13th century or 16th century, we look at buildings, we don't have creativity like that anymore. Go downtown Des Moines and you tell me how creative that stuff is. Right? I am telling you right now, and I feel an anointing when I'm saying this, that God's people are going to tap in to creativity and things the world only dreams of. Some of the most talented people ever, if you, I had so much music history and all this stuff, theory back in the day. Do you realize that we think that most of the music is secular? Actually, there's so much sacred music that has been written over the centuries. I don't care how much new music they produce, it will never catch up to what has been produced before. I'm telling you what, you need to have a revelation of your value. Because we need people that are going to stand up in these last days. We need Oral Roberts, right? We need businessmen and women. We need Kenneth Hagins. We need people in the arts. You know, I have been so for years, the creative side, I've been told that it's, you know, I need to put a handle on it. I need to do this. Often that's from insecure people, right? Because they don't want you to go. But I think we as Christians need to blow the lid off things. And there's just things I believe in this room tonight, God is going to give you revelation on things for you to step into. But I believe we could see millionaires, you know, people with finances here and you know, a voice that God can anoint you to do something that you can bless and help people. Like for myself, my faith is that you know, I have finances to be able to fund the gospel. And we were just talking about the other night just about, you know, doing some different things to, you know, different business ideas and things like that too, to bring in more finances, not just for me, but for the kingdom. You know, I need to go on more mission trips. I'll just tell you that right now. Like, we need another facility. Okay, I'm sorry, this just isn't going to do. I mean, I'm thankful for it, but we got to have bigger vision, right? We need bigger vision. We need a bigger facility. We need people with finances to pour into this church. We really do. It's just, I mean, we need it, because if we can't, we're just not going anywhere unless God does something supernaturally. And so, and I'm not, well, pastor wants everybody to, no, I want you to be extremely wealthy for your family to be blessed. Amen. And then, because guess what? You can't help anybody if you're poor. If you're broke, you can't help anybody. It just doesn't work that way. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with having, you know what? I said it before. I just wish everybody in this room would have so much money, it gives the devil a coronary. I mean, it is just so wonderful for everybody to be so wealthy. And we're praying that, you know, we're not in bondage anymore to this world's financial system. But that's just something really heavy in my heart that, and I'm going to pray tonight when we close, that we're going to have revelation. Amen? That there's an impact, because we need people to be step up and be leaders in the community. And I'm tired of religious folks taking over everything. I'm tired of worldly people running their mouths and like they know anything. No. I mean, if you know these people, you're like, this, it's a fraud. Your life is a mess. Anytime separated from God, it's going to be a mess before long. Jesus, I thank you tonight for these precious people, Lord. My prayer is tonight, Holy Ghost, you begin to arise things in people. Lord, I pray that number one, we're going to see the value that God has put in each person here. Also, two, Lord, I thank you. You're going to raise people up to see their giftings, their callings, the things that you've called them to do, Lord. They're going to walk in things. We're going to see things like never before, Lord, for impact the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I got to just get this too on the inside. We've been looking at sacred work and secular work as two separate things. God is calling us now to merge them together. There is no secular work. There is no sacred work. Everything in the kingdom is sacred work. Why? Because when you step behind a bus or a truck or step in front of a school, it is sacred because the one that's sacred lives in you. You have the Zoe kind of life. You've got the life of God living and brewing. And it says, Jesus said, that I will come, me and the Father will make our abode or our home in you. You've got Jesus and the Father living in you. And if you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got Him upon you. So you've got the entire Trinity, no matter where you go. Everything you touch is sacred. Whether you're stirring up macaroni and cheese, you're changing diapers, or you're doing paperwork for a business, everything that we're doing is sacred and unto the Lord. It's a new way of thinking, amen? We got to change our thinking if we're going to impact the world, if we're going to do things, because we don't have to do things the way the world does them. We do them, we do those things according to the Spirit, amen? Because we're led by the Spirit, we're led by the Word of God, our mind's being renewed, and we're going to come up, and we are victorious, amen? Because we have royal blood living on the inside of us in the spiritual realm. Amen? Hallelujah. We are God's chosen people. We are Jews in the spirit realm. We are God's chosen people. We are circumcised in the spirit. We don't have any idea what we have. I'm telling you right now. That's something that in Him. We've got to understand who we are in Him, the power that we have to change people, to change situations, to call in finances, things to move and to change, not to manipulate people, but to benefit the kingdom of God and bring Him glory. Amen? Amen. I'm done. Hallelujah. Have a good week, everybody. Hallelujah.